And Rob, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dean. Great to be back.
Schwanee,
he's disappeared.
Yeah.
Boy, a little Shamrock Shuffle happens, and Schwanee's nowhere to be found.
I get it.
Do you have, you probably came in so early that you weren't affected by Shamrock Shuffle.
I was not, but I think I will be affected on my way out of here.
You definitely will.
Yeah.
You definitely will. Andy, did you have Shamrock Shuffle trouble?
No, I was here early today.
Oh, look at you.
So
look at you, Mr. Early Bird.
Early Bird, I got the worm, yeah.
I had trouble coming in, and in the 3 years that producer Jack has been on the show, I've never seen him so angry as he was this morning.
Oh, I got a frustrated phone call from Jack, yeah. Trying to guide him into the radio station, so we successfully managed to get him here.
Yeah, shout out to Andy. I was not happy.
He burst into the studio right before we went on the air, and this is Jack exactly. I hate the shuffle!
I'm just trying to get to the office, man.
Just trying to let the hammer in.
Yeah, exactly.
Just trying to get to work. Some of us actually work down here. Yeah, it's a mess down here today.
Yeah, this is just like the preview of the marathon. You know?
Yeah.
This is just getting us ready.
Yeah, it's terrible, and it's only going to get terribler in October for the...
Even before that with NASCAR and all that stuff, too.
I'm going to pull a Schwanee, I think, on the... for the actual marathon.
Well, it was no fun for the river dying. It took me a long time to get out of here, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of people down here for that.
Yeah, it was surprising, especially
almost as big an event as the parade itself.
Yeah. And people usually will stick around. There was a few that decided that the river dying was all they wanted to see, and they're going to head back home. And we felt that on Lakeshore Drive. You felt that on all the service streets too.
Well,
it's all good though.
You know, I've been complaining about this for years. I've decided in my golden years, I'm going to try to mellow out on.
How's that going to work?
So far, not going real well. Texas. Howdy, partners. Sage and blue. It's like your old buckaroo, Uncle Dean. In the heart of Texas. I spent much of this past week in the state of Texas.
Really?
Doing some interviews. There is a series/motion picture called The Chosen, about the life of Jesus, that is coming out with their season 5 this week. And I was there to interview the cast, including Jonathan Rumi. He's the latest actor to play the role of Jesus. So, I was in beautiful Dallas, Texas.
Nice.
It's all right.
You know, they play that song that you just played, right after Take Me Out to the Ball Game, seventh inning stretch in Houston.
Of course they do.
And the first time I heard it, it was very strange because they do the clap, 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 clap in between.
Yes.
And it was so coordinated and so it was just kind of, it was interesting. It's like, wait a minute, are we just supposed to do Take Me Out to the Ball Game? And they had their own little flair.
No, they have their own, you know, Texas thinks it's their own, it's a country.
Correct.
So, you know. Yeah, God bless them.
Yeah, that was one cool thing, too, we did in Houston. They would provide us with a basket of Cracker Jacks, and we would throw them out of the booth. It was encouraged for us to throw them out of the booth into the seats. Yeah,
that would seem like an insurance liability.
It was great because Santo would get up, and there was some fans that were heckling the booth, and he would just rifle those things.
He'd beam them.
He was third baseman, and he was chucking at the first, and if your head got in the way, oh, well.
Ronnie.
There's your prize right there.
I miss Ronnie.
Me too.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack right and smack in the
right
middle
between
of
your eyes.
I love that.
Talk about a prize, right?
Yeah, exactly right.
The hotel where I stayed in downtown Dallas was a mere 3 blocks away from the grassy knoll.
Oh, wow.
So I was, I'm fascinated still by the Kennedy assassination. And I thought, you know, we were going to get some new information this week.
Mm-hmm.
When they released the files, turned out we didn't get anything new whatsoever. But I walked over to the grassy knoll. I'm walking around like I'm Columbo.
Looking for clues.
Looking for clues. All these years later. There's a big X in the middle. I don't know what's the street names. I don't remember. But the where the limousine was hit with JFK, there's a big X in the middle of the street.
Oh, wow.
Right next to the Texas Book Depository. And I'm just like, walking around. Other crazy conspiracy people like me are walking around.
I'm just imagining Columbo as the lead investigator on that.
On that case?
Yeah. One other thing.
Yeah, I just got one more question. This probably doesn't mean anything, but had some good barbecue while I was there.
You have to, yes.
Yeah, that's good. Enjoyed that. But I felt, I feel out of place there. I don't own cowboy boots. I don't have a cowboy hat. I don't really have very much cowboy motif.
Yeah, I don't either.
In other words, I stick out like, I feel like I stick out like a sore thumb while I'm there.
Yeah, it's an interesting state. I've been.
That's polite.
Yeah, that's polite. I've been.
It's a polite way to say you hate it.
I don't say that I hate it, but you know, Dallas is really, really crowded. I mean, it's that Metroplex is huge.
Yeah.
You talk about traffic around here. There's a ton of traffic too.
Yeah, it's bad. I haven't been to Dallas in a very long time, maybe 20 years, something, and it has grown unbelievably. There's like high rises every place now, and traffic is every place now. And, you know, I depend on my GPS when I'm in another city to get around. But you want to talk about spaghetti bowls on expressways and highways and streets. It's tricky there.
Yeah, luckily, the few times that I have been there have been with baseball teams. And I've been on a bus, and I had to worry didn't have to worry about driving. But
they take you around.
Yeah, but it was still crowded and looked very confusing.
Yeah. Anyway, I got my interview with Jesus.
Good work.
So
was that an exclusive?
That was. You know, Easter's coming up. I thought it would be a nice time to talk to him.
WGN exclusive.
Yeah. Dean Richards talks to Jesus coming up on the next. We'll have that for you next week. I think it started off as a series, and then they combined the series, the episodes of the series, to put it in theaters. The Chosen, I'm talking about, and then it still became a series, it's going to be in theaters, but also on Amazon Prime. Season 5 is what is about to debut next week. So we'll share my exclusive interview with Jesus. And, I talked with Mary Magdalene. I talked with Matthew. I talked with, all the big guys.
Oh, a bunch of heavy hitters right there.
All the heavy hitters. Yeah. They want to be on WGN. The creator of The Chosen is from Chicago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we had a nice little chitty chat. Nice when you go to talk about the life of Jesus and you wind up talking about Bozo instead.
Doesn't it always come back to Bozo?
For me, it does.
Bozo buckets.
If I can find a way to, I don't care really who I'm talking to. I will find a way to bring it back to Bozo somehow. I could be talking to Mahatma Gandhi somehow and somehow bring the conversation back to Bozo Tea Clown. That's just my gift.
That's good.
Everyone has a Chicago connection.
That is my gift.
It's 6 degrees of Bozo.
Yeah, exactly right. As in the 6 buckets of...
good call.
Perfect.
The
grand prize game. Okay, so let's see, what else do we have here? No Schwanee today, but we do have a far-flung forecast.
We do.
Andy working overtime this week.
Yep.
And we'll get to that in a few minutes.
And let's see what else. Have we complained enough about the Shamrock Shuffle?
We could probably use our quota is not quite filled yet.
I mean, we have a long show today, so yeah, I want
maybe pace yourself like the runners.
Space it out a little bit, right? Yeah, you don't want to overdo it.
Exactly.
You know, from up here on the 18th floor, I'm looking at them running down Columbus.
There. Don't say it's beautiful.
It's a sea of green.
It's a sea of green.
Don't even say it's beautiful.
It's kind of cool looking.
Yeah. All I know is I've known producer Jack for 3 years. He's worked on the show for 3 years, and he actually scared me this morning. Most mornings, he scares me in different ways.
I was not happy. I'm still not happy.
Today, I thought, it's like, I need to ditch under the desk.
You know, so he calls, and I'm walking around the building because, you know, we have views pretty much, you know, each side of the city from here.
Right. If it weren't for the annoying Shamrock Shuffle, it would be a beautiful view out this morning.
So he's telling me where he is, and I'm walking around looking down to see if that road is open. I was kind of like his traffic copter here in the building.
Yeah, Andy's the MVP of the morning. Yeah.
So wait a minute. You called Andy to look out the window?
Well, thought I was in the same boat.
Yeah. I'm like, how'd you get in? Yeah. He's like, oh, I got here early. I'm like, oh. Well, I'm screwed right now.
Yeah. So I was walking around to make sure that certain roads were open and trying to advise him where to go.
And I owe Andy one, a big one.
It's all good.
So did you wind up, were you able to park in this building?
No, I parked in the Aqua next door.
You parked in the Aqua next door.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also had to park someplace other than where I normally park. Because I couldn't get close enough to this building somehow.
Yeah.
I tried all my usual underground routes that I take and all my secret little passageways, which apparently are no longer secret.
Everybody's using them.
Yeah. And I couldn't get anywhere near, and the police were not having any of this. I work at WGN. I just need to get into that building right there across the street. They were not having any of that.
No. Like, okay, well, good luck.
Yeah, you could walk across, I guess.
Yeah. So, I haven't brought this up in a long time. All these runs, these marathons, these disruptions to life. We have a big old lakefront that was, you know, which goes north and south.
Yep.
And you could do all your runs. You could do everything on the beautiful lakeshore and disrupt very little traffic.
Yeah.
Instead of turn left here, go one block and turn right there and close this block off and close that block off.
Much better views.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know where you're running, yeah. A lot of people probably practice on that path anyway.
Yeah. I know Andy and I enjoyed we did the ALS walk with Shawnee once.
Yeah, we almost threw him in the lake.
And we did almost throw him in the lake because he was describing every leaf.
Every tree and leaf.
Who knew that he was a tree expert, a leaf expert?
Well, I'm not sure he really is. We just, you know, he was just saying it very convincingly.
I don't know why they can't minimize disruptions to other people.
I'm sure they figure they want them to see the entire city and, you know, see everything that it has to offer. And
and who's up at this time on a Sunday going to work, right?
Well, if they look up here at the 18th floor, I've got some for them to look at. So. God bless them.
Uh-huh.
How long is that going on, Rob, today?
Everything should be wrapped up around 2 o'clock.
Great.
Yeah.
So we'll also get it on the back end then also.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. I'm expecting to spend some time on Lower Wacker Drive tonight, or this afternoon, rather.
I'm staying away from Jack. The last 2 hours of the show, I'm not going anywhere near him today.
As long as I can get to the UC later, I'll be fine.
Just get out of his way. Man on a mission.
And some people have actual problems in life.
Yes. It's very true.
Oh, I got delayed. I got delayed coming to work. I'm in such pain.
Poor, poor baby.
Yeah. You know. Okay. Well, anywho, we have that we've talked about. We've got the star of a new play. You know the group, the Kinks, right?
Oh yeah.
House of the Rising Sun and so many great songs. There is a new play which has opened up, a musical, about the life and career of the group The Kinks.
Nice.
It's over at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater, and we're going to talk with the star of the show, who plays Ray Davies of The Kinks. He plays him. That's going to be on our theater segment this morning. And if you remember the show Dharma and Greg...
Oh, yeah. Jenna Elfman, right?
Yeah. And Thomas Gibson, okay. It was Greg. Thomas Gibson has a new play that's going to be opening in Chicago. And he's going to join us on the show today. He was going to be here in studio with us, but we decided not to put him through the pure hell of trying to get to 303 East.
Thomas, you're going to have to run the Shamrock Shuffle first, and then you can come up here and talk to us about your play.
That's right.
You can walk it if you want,
though. If you don't come up here wrapped in an aluminum blanket, we don't want to see you. So he's going to join us on the phone today. He's on Criminal Minds. He's been on a lot of things that you'd recognize. And is now in Chicago getting ready to open up this new place. So we'll get to that in just a little while. And what else? What else is going on?
Opening day this week for the White Sox. It's
crazy.
Thursday. They'll be at now called
home opener?
Yep, now called Rate Field. They dropped the guarantee. It's just too easy. There's a lot of low hanging fruit there. Yeah.
Is it bad that I'm still calling it Comiskey Park?
No, not at all. Not at all. The Angels are going to be in town to take on the White Sox. So that's game one is Thursday afternoon, 3:00.
So guarantee it'll snow.
Probably correct. Yeah, probably correct. The Cubs will open up that same day, but they'll be in Arizona. For the start
when
of the
is
series.
Cubs home opener?
Cubs home opener is the following weekend. They open up on Friday, April 4th against San Diego.
Okay. Well, we have to worry about the Sweet 16 right now anyway, right?
Yeah, Illinois playing later today against Kentucky. And if the Illini can get by the Wildcats, they can get to the Sweet 16 for the second straight tournament. And the Big Ten has done really, really well. The only team that has lost was last night. That was Wisconsin. Otherwise, everybody that was in, eight teams made it in. Seven are still playing. So it's pretty good for the Big Ten.
Seems like this is a good year for that. Obviously, I know absolutely nothing about it.
Yeah.
But this is where I try to jump on the bandwagon. Right around now.
It's okay.
Maybe Final Four-ish.
There's plenty of room on the bandwagon.
I try to get on. But seems like people who know about stuff like this are especially excited about the NCAA finals this year.
Yeah, it's a pretty evenly matched field this year. I mean, I don't know if it had something to do with the fact that these conferences expanded so much, and the Big Ten is now the Big Ten plus eight. It's 18 teams. And, you know, normally when it was actually the Big Ten and they had actually 14 teams in it, it was such a physical conference that the teams would beat each other up so much that they had nothing left once the tournament came. So there's some different styles of game being played now in the conference. It's not all that... play the game in the 50s and the 60s. There's some teams that are scoring now, and I think they've conserved some energy for what they have in front of them here in the tournament.
All right, we'll talk more about it later on. I'll pretend to know what I'm talking about.
Me too.
And we'll continue. Andy has got the far-flung forecast coming right up. Rob, are you familiar with the far-flung forecast?
Yes, I've had the privilege to listen to Dave Schwann perform it for you many times.
Perform it.
Perform.
He does. Wouldn't you guys say the same? He's very dramatic.
I never thought of it as like a performance of King Lear or anything like that, but it is memorable each week. And this week, our far-flung forecast, in Dave Schwann's absence, is being presented by one Mr. Andy Mazur, our weekly compendium of fascinating facts and figures. And here now with today's performance.
The understudy is coming in.
The thespian, Mr. Mazur.
All right. Well, for Shawnee's sake, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, get out your compasses, your protractors, and all your newfangled devices. We go today to not very far, but still flung, to Hebron, Illinois.
Hebron.
Located in McHenry County, up near the Illinois-Wisconsin state line. It's 11 miles due north of Woodstock and 2.5 miles due south of the Illinois-Wisconsin state line.
You know the population?
It's about 1,300.
Shawnee likes to give the population someplace.
1,300.
For no particular reason.
Exactly. We do mention Hebron today because 73 years ago yesterday, March 22nd, 1952, Hebron High School, with an enrollment of 98, beat Quincy 64-59 in overtime to win the IHSA Boys State Basketball Championship in Champaign. The town put on the map by the boys' team of 10 players. They were known as the Hebron Green Giants. And yes, we actually have audio of the final seconds of the title game.
That about wraps things up for Hebron. Yes, sir. Paul Judson turns around at the free throw line and waves his hand at the rooting section. There's only 5 seconds left to play. Hebron is the state champion of Illinois.
And that ends our Illinois High School Association Championship Basketball Tournament in Champaign-Urbana. It's been a great tournament. We've got a new champion. And the Illinois Bell Telephone Company has enjoyed bringing it to all of you.
That's why I kept that in there. The Illinois Bell Telephone Company provided all the lines for it all. And
I like the guy's enthusiasm.
Yeah, I think he was beat after the whole, it was overtime and everything. So, but that was the 1952 season. The Green Giants rolled over all their opponents. There was a ton of interest. They had a real cozy gym. And even back then, they had second-party ticket scalping. They had the 10 times face value to see these kids play in regular season games. They had the smallest roster of only 10. So the starting lineup of starting five played the entire championship game, including the overtime. And it was estimated that people tuned in the millions, about a million fans or so.
Really?
To listen and watch that game. Now, there is...
I can see why that announcer put on such a big show.
He was putting on a performance.
The Illinois Bell got their money's worth.
They certainly did. Now, to kind of bring it to an entertainment aspect, there is a loose connection with the movie Hoosiers, which claims it was inspired in part by the Indiana State Championship of the Milan Indians in 1954. But a couple of other states had similar stories, including Hebron and a city of Edgerton, Minnesota in 1960. Had 94 students. So this is the smallest school to ever win the Illinois State Championship. And whatever the case, they still continue to celebrate these champions. The school is actually Alden Hebron High School. It has a big, nice, modern gym now, but the old auditorium with the raised stage and the basketball floor still there. The original center court circle has been cut out, and it actually rests now near the team's trophy case. And the water tower, to this day, painted like a basketball in the team's honor
of that.
Exactly, from 1952. Wow. So 73 years ago yesterday, Hebron High School wins the state championship with only an enrollment of 98. And the weather today, pretty much like ours here, expecting a high of 47 and a little rain.
You know, I don't want to disparage Dave Schwann at all, but you really put a lot of work into that.
I did. Trying to investigate certain anniversaries and things of that nature. And, Schwanny, of course, I feel more comfortable talking sports.
Schwanny goes to Wikipedia and finds out whose birthday it is. And,
and puts it together that day.
And assembles it backwards from there.
Exactly right.
But Andy did a good job today.
It's always great stories to hear these smaller high schools doing well on the big stage. And we'll celebrate along with everybody.
Any chance we could hear that electric announcer one more time?
Yeah, absolutely.
That about wraps things up for Hebron. Yes, sir. Paul Judson turns around at the free throw line and waves his hand at the rooting section. There's only 5 seconds left to play. Hebron is the state champion of Illinois.
And that ends our Illinois High School Association Championship Basketball Tournament.
I'm going to go home and crack a beer.
It's been a great tournament. We've got a new champion. And the Illinois Bell Telephone Company has enjoyed bringing it to all of you.
And the line is busy, so please try again.
9:43. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Time for the weekend health. And joining us as always, Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Dr. Silver, my friend, how are you?
Good morning, Dean. Excuse my voice. I'm recovering from a bit of an upper respiratory infection.
Doing the same thing. How about that?
Yeah, about it.
A little upper respiratory action this week as well. What should we be doing for our upper respiratory? I've just been drinking a lot of fluids and resting. There's really nothing else to do, right?
That's key. You know, I really like the tea with honey and lemon remedy. Mm. It really has a soothing effect. And tea also has a natural antibiotic in it. Tetracycline is a component of honey. So that's why I like the honey. It's got a little antibiotic in it, and it feels good. It's gentle on the throat, and, of course, a little bit of sugar there to make you feel better.
I have a big thermos full of it right here next to me right now as well. So if you'll pardon our voices, we'll continue through. The big news this morning is that the Pope has been released from the hospital after 5 weeks there. Pope Francis, he appeared a little bit frail, but did appear before, the masses outside of the Vatican this morning and made an appearance. He is recovering from double pneumonia. What are the kinds of things? That's pretty serious for an 88-year-old man to have double pneumonia. He's been on oxygen. He was on oxygen this morning. They had him on oxygen as well when they wheeled him out onto the balcony. But what are the kinds of things now that the Pope should be doing, or a person who is recovering from double pneumonia should be doing in these next steps?
Well, first of all, he's very fortunate to be walking out of the hospital at all. For adults over age 65, pneumonia is incredibly serious. One out of ten elderly patients with pneumonia won't make it out. They'll succumb to the disease. So he's beaten the odds in that sense, but still a long road ahead. Somewhere around 35% of elderly adults will be gone within a year. So it is linked to increased mortality. Specifically, coming home, you will have, after that amount of time in a hospital, particularly with a lot of that time spent on ventilating equipment, you're not exercising or eating the way that you normally do, and so your nutritional status is severely compromised. And so the importance of building back up the nutrition and the exercise tolerance. You mentioned he was on on oxygen. Unclear if that's going to be a long term or a short term treatment. But that would point to some of the severity of whether there might be some chronic disease left behind. And so it's going to be a long road. It's a long road without double pneumonia. Even if you're just admitted for a couple of days and go home, it's still a long road. And we're talking at least 6 to 8 weeks for most people. In his case, it could be a much longer journey.
How does one prevent themselves from getting pneumonia in the first place? We have lots of seniors who are listening, for which this can be very serious. How do you not get pneumonia?
Well, it's tough. You know, the immune system is not what it once was. Certainly staying on top of the vaccines, the pneumonia vaccine termed Pneumovax. There is an RSV vaccine that's available to older folks. If they meet criteria, the COVID vaccine, so all the flu vaccines. So these vaccines are helpful to help the immune system stay robust and geared specifically towards these common illnesses that can get you into trouble with pneumonia.
Pneumonia is a virus, though, right? So it's just it's a matter of avoiding getting the virus, of being careful to not have germs spread upon you, where then you can become susceptible to pneumonia, if I'm understanding it right.
Oh, you're right. Absolutely, viruses can cause pneumonia. As I mentioned, COVID and RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, but it can also be bacterial. And so strep pneumonia, very common bacteria, Streptococcus pneumoniae, very common cause of pneumonia. And then there are fungal microbes that can lead to pneumonia in less common cases. but it does occur.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with more with Dr. Jeremy Silver. If you've got questions, comments, The Week in Health is on WGN. It is 9:52. Dr. Jeremy Silver with us from Kishwaukee Hospital this morning. Many of you enjoying a nice cup of coffee this morning. And, you know, people have said, be careful with coffee. There could be some health risks. Turns out that may not completely be the case, right, Dr. Silver?
Yes, that's correct. I think we're learning more and more that a moderate intake of coffee, and that's 2 to 4 regular size cups a day, is thought to be linked to reduced cause of death, and also in terms of specific disease states, lower risk of coronary artery disease, lower risk of stroke, lower risk of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, not to mention lower risk of type 2 diabetes. So there's even some thought that it may help reduce the risk of cancer. there was a study that came out recently looking at your gut microbial composition. Those are the bacteria that live in your intestinal tract and help you both from an immune standpoint and also in terms of digesting food. And it's thought that coffee is a motivator to produce more of these good type of bacteria. So the more we learn, the more I think it's safe to say that that coffee can be very helpful. Of course, you want to avoid overdoing it because it can lead to jitteriness and palpitations, but if you can handle it, certainly would support that.
Got a call in from Kevin for Dr. Jeremy Silver. Hi, Kevin. You're on WGN.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Dr. Jeremy. I'm 64 years old. I'm having a lot of pain in my hands, and it's not like arthritis, like joint pain. It's just like the tendons are really stiff, and it seems to be getting worse all the time. So my doctor said, because I told him, well, I lift weights, and I think that's causing a lot of it. And he said, that shouldn't hurt your hands. I'm going to send you to an arthritic doctor for, you know, rheumatoid arthritis. But I just wonder what your thoughts were. Is it just because I'm aging? Is there anything I can do about it?
That's interesting. Thanks for your question. I guess I have a couple of thoughts. One is I always, when patients tell me that they think the problem is linked to X, Y, or Z factor, I do put a significant amount of weight on that, no pun intended. But yeah, it may be kind of multiple issues. There may be some arthritis, and as you mentioned, some strain to the hands. And so it may be helpful to reduce the actual amount of weight that you're lifting and go with higher reps. The other thing that I can tell you is, from some personal experience with physical therapy, Pilates is an amazing way, to build strength, using your own body. With cables and sliding sliding equipment that you sit on. It's called a reformer. And so if you ever have the opportunity to take a Pilates class, I'll put my plug in for that. I think it's a great way, again, to build strength with a very low stress on the various parts of the body, the various joints, especially in the wrists and hands, which can weaken somewhat over time.
Kevin, let me ask you a question. I'm not a doctor, but my initials are DR after all. The pain that you're having in your hands, is it like electrical?
No, it's shock. It's just like stiffness, soreness. You know, I'm a mechanic. I've done a lot of work with my hands. It's cumulative, I think. Over the years, it's just a lot of handwork. I garden, things like that, you know, work on cars. So,
Doctor,
I think I'm just wearing out.
You know? Yeah, I hear you. Dr. Silver, could this be something like carpal tunnel?
Well, there's so many different issues with the hand. The hand is a complex structure in the human body. It has a lot of degrees of movement, and there's a lot of pieces of machinery, if you will, in the hand. There's lots of pulleys and so, you know, over time, particularly those who have been working with their hands, as this caller has, you can develop inflammation of the lubricant inside, the synovial fluid in the joints, which can break down. The cartilage can break down just from the constant rubbing and friction, the frictional forces of constant usage. and that can lead to bone-on-bone interactions, which then promotes more inflammation and soreness. Certainly, the ligaments and tendons are very small, and so would be susceptible to chronic overuse. And you know, like you said, you know, over, you mentioned it, you made a perfect statement of the cumulative effects of you know, using any object. You can think about any tool in the toolbox. I have, you know, I have some wrenches in my garage that were handed to me by my dad, and you can tell they've been used thousands of times. And so the same thing with the human hand. You know, over time, it's just going to start to break down from a variety of perspectives. And so the best treatment, apart from doing what you're doing and seeing the appropriate specialist, and maybe a rheumatologist or an arthropod might be useful, just to kind of hone in on that, like a hand specialist. Or someone mm-hmm. who specializes in inflammation of the joint, like a rheumatologist, could potentially recommend a drug that could help with that inflammation that might help kind of modify those symptoms a little bit. And then, of course, you know, the weight bearing is key, because the more weight over distance is going to create more destructive force. So if you can lower the weight and increase the reps, you might find you get more out of your workouts.
Yeah, Kevin, good luck with all of that. We appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Dr. Silver, as always, thank you. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Kishwaukee Hospital. Have a great Sunday, Doc. Thank you.
Dean, feel better soon.
You too. Thank you. Well, coming up in just a few minutes, a major announcement.
What?
Having to do with this program.
A major announcement?
Major announcement.
Ooh.
Have you not heard about any major announcements?
I have not. I don't even want to hazard a guess because I, you know, might be wrong.
Ooh.
I have no idea.
Really?
No.
Okay.
Was I supposed to know?
I thought by now you would have heard.
Oh, okay.
There is, yeah, we'll have that coming up in a few
minutes. Okay. I like to build the drama, too.
So, I think it's kind of funny that you don't know.
I don't know. Maybe I do, but I don't.
Another exclusive.
No.
Okay. Jack, do I know the secret?
don't turn to Jack.
You might.
Okay.
Just because you feel like that he owes you.
No. That's not at all. Just want to make sure, you know, that it's not something I already know. You know?
Or maybe has something to do with you.
It could be. Yeah, I get a little nervous when those things happen, too.
Right. Yeah, we've packed up your desk, Andy.
Have I told you how much I enjoyed being on this show?
I don't think I've ever heard that from you before, ever. One of the most beloved songs in all of animated movie history. 1936, the original Snow White from Walt Disney. The new version of Snow White hit theaters this week, and I loved it. Gave it Dean's List A. We'll talk about that coming up later on, and all the controversies and all that sort of thing. Yeah, it's been a while since we've just answered questions on the old text line.
Here we go. What could go wrong?
Dean, why have you not talked about the Shamrock Shake?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny because I was planning a 6-part documentary on the Shamrock Shake.
Is it just vanilla with green food coloring, or is it really
I think there's a different flavor? Don't they use real shamrocks in it?
I'm sure.
It's a little minty flavor.
Yeah, it's got mint in it, yeah.
I haven't had one in years, but, I mean, what is there to, what should we be talking about with it?
Well, I don't know. That it's green.
Can we somehow relate it to the political situation that we find the world in right now?
I'm sure we could.
is somebody trying to polarize the Shamrock Shake?
I don't know. That would be a good thing.
Don't cancel our Shamrock Shakes. Yeah, I don't know what.
Maybe ice is moving in on it or something.
Well, you know, for a shake.
It is cold.
That would be good for a shake to have ice. Let me see here. Here's the 630 area code. Dean, what is going on the Tri-State Tollway between Ogden and I-88? All lanes are blocked, and people are leaving their cars? Rob, do we know anything about that?
I don't know anything about people leaving their cars, but I do know that on the tri-state northbound before I-88, right by the westbound exit ramp, there is a vehicle fire. So we are looking at some delays there. But I'm not. I don't know the extent of it. It came in right as, of course, we finished our last news segment.
Right, right. But there is a car fire in that area, so
yeah,
avoid that area. Boy, it must be. I mean, if people are leaving their cars,
yeah, you don't see that very often.
You do not see that very often. But we'll keep an eye on that, and
yeah, I'll keep you up to date.
As soon as we know more about that, we'll let you know. Dean, this is Larry and Lori from Palatine. We listen to your show every Sunday. Well, as I tell people, that's your problem. No, we appreciate. We're going to New York in mid-May for a few days to see a Broadway show and to go to a deli.
Oh, nice.
We're staying in Midtown. What show would you suggest that we see? Sixes, Book of Mormon, or what? We've already seen Hamilton and Wicked in Chicago. Do you suggest anything else? Never been to NYC before.
Oh, wow.
Oh, how fun is that? That you should, you know, you should be there for the very first time. I highly recommend all the touristy things, first of all. That is something I love to do in cities where I've never been. I'll often hop on those double-decker buses and just, you know, you can hop on and you can hop off and, you know, enjoy all the shows. As far as, let me see, what is playing right now? I'm just looking at the list. I'm going to playbill.com. It's been a while since I've been to a show in New York as well. Here we go. Broadway shows. Cabaret is playing right now and is supposed to be fantastic. Death Becomes Her is a musical comedy that world premiered here in Chicago. It is hilarious, and I would recommend that. Buena Vista Social Club just opened a few days ago, and that's great. George Clooney is starring in Good Night and Good Luck, the Edward R. Murrow drama. We've got Gypsy with Audra McDonald that has just opened, that's getting rave reviews. So I think plenty of good shows. Plenty of good shows to go see. Andy, have you been to New York? Oh, yeah. On sports adventures?
Many times, yeah, many times.
Ever go see a play?
You know, I have never seen a play in New York, no. I've been, like you said, I've been there for work, or Melina and I went there for a wedding last year, and we were on the Lower East Side, which was very nice. I never stayed over there before. That was really nice.
Yeah, Lower East Side is very, very nice. I love New York, not enough to ever want to live there, but I do like going there. I love going to shows there. Well, I can't believe that you've never been to a Broadway show.
No. What's your go-to deli?
Well, now it's Katz's.
Yeah, that's the one. That's near where we stayed, and it constantly lines out the door.
Yeah.
It's one of the best.
That's the one from When Harry Met Sally.
Yes.
I'll Have What She's Having. That was shot at Katz's Deli there. But they make an incredible corned beef sandwich or pastrami sandwich there. Really delicious. I used to love Carnegie Deli. I used to love Stage Deli.
Yeah, they're both gone.
All gone now. If you go there for a deli, be prepared for a corned beef sandwich the size of your head,
yep.
Number one.
And you may have to wait a little bit for it.
You may have to wait a little bit. And you may have to take a second mortgage out on your house.
This is also true.
It's a little on the pricey side. All right. Well, I promised you that we had a huge announcement to make on the show today.
Okay, I'm ready.
And we're going to do that right after this. 10:22, Dean Richards. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN.
You don't hear enough Eric Cartman on WGN.
Right? That's how I feel as well.
Oh, man.
That's how I feel as well. Boy, we got a lot of suggestions about places to go in New York. Delhi, Second Avenue Deli. If it's your first time in New York, go see The Lion King. completely forgot about that because it's been open for such a long time. But yeah, it's very definitely spectacular. Remember Roy Leonard used to take listeners on New York theater trips?
Yeah, vaguely remember that. Remember
back in the day?
Yeah.
New York and London theater trips. I wonder if we should start doing that.
I'd go.
Get you a little culture.
Yeah, I need some culture.
Go see some shows. Go enjoy some corned beef. Take a nap. That's pretty much.
I'd sign up for that part.
That's pretty much my. That's my whole clock right there.
That's good.
Yeah. And now, ladies and gentlemen,
finally,
a major announcement having to do with the future of the Sunday morning show here on WGN.
All right. You are dragging this out, and you're doing it on purpose.
That's very true. I was trying to figure out a way to make it sound like Schwani's leaving the show.
Uh-huh.
But Schwani's not leaving the show.
No, he's not.
And then I thought, boy, let's get really dramatic, and I'll pretend like I'm leaving the show.
But you're not.
But I'm not. And then I said, I wonder if we can make it sound like Andy's leaving the show. But only 5 minutes prior, Andy didn't know what the major announcement was.
So it might have been.
So that wouldn't make any sense. But a major player on the show is leaving us, and that is producer Jack Heinrich.
What?
Jack, I can't believe that you don't know this.
I don't know anything.
There has been a round robin of emails of me, complaining. That's not why he's leaving. About me complaining that he's leaving the show.
I have not been included on any of those emails.
I thought I could have sworn that I copied both you and Schwani on this. And neither of you responded. I thought I told both of you. Neither of you responded.
Nope.
And I thought, wow, Schwani and Andy don't like Jack.
Now it comes out.
They're glad he's leaving.
Well, you know, had I received the email, then I could have actually ignored it, but I didn't get it.
Never
to ignore.
Even got it. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, that's my bad. That's all my bad. But Jack, as we call him, Jack Hammer on the show, has been a fantastic, fantastic producer partner on the show for the last 3 years, which I can't believe it's been 3 years, but it has been.
Yeah,
and he's leaving us in a couple of weeks. To go work on another show here on WGN. Do you want to explain, Jack, what's up?
Yeah, please explain.
Yeah, Andy, sorry. It's been a whirlwind of a few weeks, so sorry I didn't include you on anything.
I'm surprised Jack didn't tell them. Apparently Jack doesn't like them either.
No, that's not what happened.
So, yeah. There's just nothing. This is like Peyton Place on
this
show.
All of a sudden.
I had no idea.
Pull back the curtain.
That's not what happened. I wasn't sure when it was official or not, but... Yeah, so Landecker's producer moved on, so I'm going to slide into that.
I believe you have to start calling him Mr. Landecker.
Mr. Landecker.
Mr. Landecker, yes. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll be taking that over after hockey, and it works so I could still do Hawks when his show's preempted. Yeah. And I think I'll still be around for Hampton OB, so...
Well, that was the key question I had next.
Yeah, so I think that's still going to all work out, but I did have to drop Dean's show and then the other two shows I do on Sunday, Karen and Rick. So it's unfortunate, but
I'm
excited.
He works an incredibly long day on Sunday.
Yes,
yeah.
He does.
He does our show early in the morning. When we're in Hampton OB season, he does Hampton OB.
Mm-hmm.
He does Karen Conti's show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kogan?
Rick Kogan's show, too.
Kogan's show. And, you know, occasionally he gets dragged into Steve Dale's show as well. So Jack's works a really long day on Sunday. And now, because he's frequently here late at night anyway with, you know, post-sports coverage.
Right.
Which really is your passion anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be working on John's show.
Mm-hmm.
In the evening, and when there are sports, he'll be working on sports shows. And I couldn't wish you more good luck.
No, I really appreciate it, Dinos. You sent a really nice email. I've had a lot of fun.
That was an accident, by the way.
Yeah.
Which never I figured.
That's why I saved it and screenshotted it and all
I
that.
I thought I was sending it to somebody else. I'm sorry.
I'm going to take it. So
yeah, go ahead. That's right. Yeah.
Take it and run.
Yeah. But yeah, sorry, Andy, I didn't include you and that and Schwani. But yeah, it's been a whirlwind of a few weeks pulled into that. And then hockey's full blast now.
Fantastic.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I'll still be around hopefully during bear season and whatnot. So. Yeah.
And also, our new producer here on Sunday morning is also here with us this morning. He's shadowing Jack. He's learning from the master.
No, I don't know about that.
but our new producer, Frank, is also he's going to be taking over when Jack finally cuts the ties,
mm-hmm.
which will be sometime in April, I guess.
Yeah. A young up-and-comer.
Young up-and-comer. Hi, Frank. Say hi.
Say hi, Frank.
Lean in. Say hi.
I can't hear.
Get used to it.
Hello. How's it going, guys? How are you?
So what do we need to know about you?
Yeah, what is Frank?
Well, my name's Frank, to begin. I'm a newer producer here. I was an intern over the summer.
You know what I can say so far? Yeah. Frank is really good at kissing up to the host of the show.
Did a good job so far.
So far, yeah. He's complimented me several times, asked if I need anything. that'll be gone in 2-3 weeks, but I'm enjoying it right now while it lasts.
Enjoy it while it lasts. Yeah. Enjoy it while it lasts. Yeah. Absolutely.
Where are you from?
I'm from Addison, Illinois. So
Addison?
Yes.
Addison, not Madison. Yeah. Addison.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's about maybe like a half hour from here.
Oh, yeah. Been there many times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. Uh-huh. And what else do we need to know about you?
I was an intern over the summer. My major is digital marketing. So I'm learning the ways of marketing, especially social media. Okay. You know, also producing and stuff like that. So
well, you'll find as a digital marketing major... Mm-hmm. This show pretty much lives in 1960.
Yeah.
You ain't seen nothing yet till Schwani gets back.
Yeah, and then Three Stooges. You better brush up on your Three Stooges and your Andy Griffith show.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, I'll take that into account for sure.
Okay.
Do you even know who Andy Griffith is?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Perfect. We're off to a good start. Yes.
He'll fit right in.
Yep. Appreciate it. Yeah, looking forward to it.
You know what you should be doing right now as the new producer of the show?
Mm.
You should be in my ear telling me to shut up and go to the news.
All right. We're going to go to the news?
No. In my ear. In my ear.
Okay.
Tell me, shut up and go to the news. He hasn't... Oh, he's being way too polite right now. I'll fix that in no time at all. Don't worry. Man, one of the great, great hits of the Kinks.
Save me from this.
Bunch of working class kids that became rock and roll icons exploding onto the musical scene during the British invasion of the 1960s with songs like this. And You Really Got Me, and All Day and All the Night. I can go on and on with all the Kinks songs that I love. Lola, so many great songs. And now the music of Ray Davies and the Kinks are being brought to the Chicago stage after an Olivier Award-winning run on the West End of London. The show Sunny Afternoon comes to the Chicago area to Chicago Shakespeare Theater. And they'll be playing here through April the 27th. Starring in the show as Ray Davies is Danny Horn, who joins us on the phone right now. Danny, good morning and welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you for having me. It's very nice to be here.
Very nice to have you in with us to talk about the show. Explain what the show is. I mean, I hate to just call it a jukebox musical because, while I haven't seen it yet, sounds like it really kind of digs into the personal and professional lives of Ray Davies and the Kinks.
Yeah, well, I love talking about this show. I just think this is such a fantastic piece, and it's also about my favorite band, so I feel double lucky that I get to be part of it and also to celebrate the music of the Kinks that means so much to me. So, yeah, it is, I suppose, I don't really know what a jukebox musical is. It tells the story of the Kinks and their sort of rise from these, like you said, working class boys in North London to almost overnight meteoric success as pioneering rock and roll stars of the 1960s. And I suppose sometimes a jukebox musical feels like they're crowbarring songs in from a certain, whoever the music is by. But this is, it feels more like a sort of a biopic, you know. It tells the story of the Kinks in sequence using their own songs to help tell the story. And everything is played live on stage. So it's kind of like seeing the Kinks live as well as hearing their remarkable story.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of these jukebox musicals take the songs of a performer or a group and, you know, sort of vaguely string a plot line through them. You know, that's what I mean when I say that this one sounds so much more substantial. And when you say it's like watching a biopic, that's a great description, because I never got to see the Kinks in person ever. And I'm really looking forward to being able to see this. From where did this idea come? This was Ray Davies' idea, I think, right?
Yeah, Ray had been looking for a way to tell this story for a really long time. And there was, over sort of the last 20 years, there's been a few various attempts to find a way to tell it. And it wasn't until about 10, 15 years ago, he collaborated with a great British writer called Joe Penhall. And over sort of a year, they started piecing together a way of telling the story in a really accessible, really fun, really engaging way that also represents the sort of madness and chaos of the Kinks. You know, doesn't sugarcoat anything and kind of shows it warts and all, you know.
Yeah. And you start in this on the West End, correct? So, I mean, we've got the real deal coming here to Chicago to lead the show here as well.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I did it in the West End ages ago. And it was, you know, a really incredible experience that. And I thought that was it. I thought, well, you know, I got to do this for a year in the West End. Like, it was all my dreams sort of coming true, getting to play a hero in, you know, these great theatres in London. And then in December, I got a phone call out the blue from director Ed Hall, sort of asking me if I wanted to come over to Chicago. I've always wanted to go to Chicago. And so it was just a sort of a dream opportunity. And it's all just been hunky-dory ever since then, really. We've been working hard and collaborating with this incredible cast and reuniting with a few old friends from London to, you know, to share and spread the word of the Kinks to the people over here, some of which might not know the Kinks quite as well as we do back in England.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, certainly some people of a certain age certainly know who the Kinks are. You know, younger people may not, although I'll bet you anything they know their music because the songs are timeless. And have been around forever, but I used to sit as a boy, you know, with my AM transistor radio, you know, practically glued to my ear, listening to the top 40 hits, and the Kinks were certainly, you know, part of all of the songs that drove us wild back in the day, you know, when they were coming out hit after hit after hit. And kind of ironic to me as well that you're at the Shakespeare Theater. It's like, who would have thought that good old Bill Shakespeare one day might host the Kinks in his theater on Chicago's lakefront? It seems like a very odd coupling, it seems to me.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, they're both British icons. yeah. Shakespeare and the Kinks. You know, I don't think anyone would have necessarily put those together, especially some of the terrible behavior that the Kinks got up to. Although Shakespeare could write some quite badly behaved characters as well.
That's right. That's right. It's all part of life. What are your favorite parts of performing this show, Danny?
Well, there's sort of a myriad of things I love about playing Ray. I love, first of all and foremost, I love playing these songs live. You're never going to hear a louder show like I think when we did it in the West End, we kind of broke a record for the loudest musical that's ever been performed in London. And we really hope that we can break a similar record here in the United States.
Yeah.
It will shake you to your foundations. And the thing is, you listen to the Kinks and you think it sounds great, but you've got to remember that's not how they heard it in the musicals of the 1960s. This kind of, these rock guitars, they shake your very foundations, and we get to give that to people every single night. So I love doing that. But not only is it a great piece about music, it's also a story of a troubled young man. I mean, and Ray's been very open about this. He did not have an easy time with his sort of mental health throughout the 1960s. He was whisked into stardom and he wasn't ready for it. And so as well as this kind of exciting musical journey we take you on, we also take the audience on an emotional journey of someone who's desperately trying to hold on to his own sanity as the world around him pushes and pulls him all over the place.
Yeah, I don't know how most anyone could have survived that sudden success that they all received back in the day, where one day you're a blue class kid who, you know, just playing pubs in your town, and the next day you're on the Ed Sullivan Show. You know, and appearing all over the world, not just the Kinks, but the Rolling Stones, the Beatles. Go down the list of people who were just, you know, blue-collared kids that hit it big and suddenly were, you know, were worldwide sensations. I don't know how emotionally most people actually get through that. Let me take a quick break and we'll come back and talk more with Danny Hall. He plays Ray Davies in the Kinks show, the musical, Sunny Afternoon, that's playing now through April 27th at The Yard at Chicago Shakespeare Theater on Navy Pier. I'll tell you how to get tickets in a minute.
Forever.
10:50, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN.
Oh, yeah. All day. And nighttime.
Talking with Danny Horn, plays Ray Davies of the Kinks in the Kinks bio musical, Sunny Afternoon, which is over at The Yard at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater. Danny, I was going to ask you if you have favorite moments in the show or favorite songs in the show. But just, you know, when I was re-listening to all of the songs again this morning, I came to the conclusion for myself, how can I possibly have a favorite with all of these great songs?
Oh, yeah, you can't really choose. They're a good bunch of tunes. I mean, there are moments that I do always look forward to, and I never, ever get bored of. I mean, the first time we play You Really Got Me, that iconic opening guitar riff, it's just every single time, it's like just a boost of adrenaline. And, yeah, I just never get sick of it. And at the moment, I swear they just turn everything up a little bit louder for that moment. And the reaction from the audience is great. You know, you just see people bolt out of their seat. So that's always special. I think my favorite song in the show is also my favorite song maybe ever written, is a song called Waterloo Sunset, which I just think is a perfect bit of music. And the place it comes in our story is really moving. And I think that, like you said, I could go through every single song in the show and stake a claim for why that might be the highlight. So I think really the best thing to do is just come see the show, and you can make your own mind up.
Make up your own mind, yeah. As I was going through the song list, I did a lot of, I forgot about that. Oh, I got to listen to that right now. Oh, I used to love that song. Oh, this song brings back that memory. It's going to be a lot of that, I think, when people come to see the show. Tell us a little about you. Do you come out of the music world or the acting world?
Well, both, really. I'm an actor sort of first and foremost, but one of the reasons I think I was a candidate for this role is I'm also a musician. So when I'm not working as an actor, I have my own band, and we have released two albums already, and we've got a third one actually coming out in May. I'm just going to drop that sneaky little plug in there. And so I think one of the, you know, it's not an easy show to cast because you need to find actors who can deliver the material.
Sure.
You need to find actors who can play the guitar or the bass guitar or the drums or whatever. And also you need to find people who look a little bit like the people who they're playing.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of ingredients that need to kind of line up for this. And so my being a musician definitely helped me in that respect.
Well, I can't wait to see the show. It is called Sunny Afternoon. It stars Danny Horn as Ray Davies and is at the Yard at Chicago Shakespeare Theater. Box office number is 312-595-5600. You can go to chicagoshakes.com to get more information. It's all playing until April the 27th. Danny, look forward to seeing the show and look forward to meeting you. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on. Cheers.
The original Disney animated film, the first animated film, by the way, Snow White, Whistle While You Work.
Put them in the tub.
The very realistic story of a beautiful princess coming to live in the middle of the forest with seven little people. Dwarfs, I guess we could say, right?
That was the title, right?
It's the name of the movie.
Yeah.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Yeah. But we're so PC'd now, we're afraid to say anything. This new movie that just opened, I haven't seen a film come out with so much hype, bad hype, before anybody even saw it. And then, you know, the movie opened, and I saw the movie. I watched it. I really liked it. I thought it was great. But the bad hype continues based on things like, what do you call the dwarfs in the movie now? Why are they called dwarfs? Why aren't they called little people? Why are they character-generated, you know, AI, computer-generated, as opposed to actual little people being used? There's a controversy because actress Gal Gadot, who is Israeli, has made very pro-Israel statements. And the other star of the movie, Rachel Zegler, has made pro-Palestinian statements. So those two don't exactly get along together. But, you know, this continues to haunt this movie. Yet it's a pretty good movie. It's a nice movie, especially if you grew up watching the original Snow White. If you remember the original Snow White, they did a really nice job recreating this movie. The performances are good. The songs are good. The animation, the computer generation is good in this movie. So, you know, I'm ignoring all the hype because I don't know who's generating all of that. It's people who want to cancel this or that or something or another, and they haven't even seen the movie. I got like five after my review came out on television. I got like five negative, you know, emails. How dare I give it a good review? And I said, have you even seen the movie? No. But they didn't want me to give the movie a good review based on some of the bad hype that they heard about it. So, you know, see it, don't see it. You know, to me, don't criticize it if you haven't seen it. You know, at least see it, and then, you know, you can make your own opinion about the whole thing. But
yeah, I mean, they want you to stop doing your job?
I guess so. I think, you know, they want me to fall in line with the cancel culture that is mad that real little people weren't used as the seven dwarfs in this movie.
Okay.
And once you see the movie, you can see why it works so much better as computer-generated images, because they're doing things, and the kinds of things they're doing, I don't think a real person could do without being seriously hurt. You know, it's better like those characters are better like a fairy tale than a real depiction. So I think you have to see the movie in order to really understand that part of it. So I'm trying to remember if I know I saw the original movie sometime back in the day. I certainly know all the songs. Whistle While You Work and Hi Ho and Someday My Prince Will Come. And I mean, there's all the original songs are there, plus a few new ones as well, and beautifully performed and really nice. So, you know, make up your own minds, I guess. If you want to believe the crowd, go along with the hype, you know. I've long since given up telling anybody what they should be thinking or doing. That's entirely up to you.
Yeah, it's just your review, your opinion, and just, do with it what you want, right?
Well, one person was just really offended. How dare I have, you know, my opinion like that? And I responded, as I always do. I probably do, you know, 3 to 5 times a week. People want me to have their opinion on something. And I said, you know, my review is just, it's just one person's opinion. I'm not writing the Bible. It's just my opinion. You can disagree with my opinion if you want to. It's entirely up to you. So, did you see the original Snow White? Do you remember?
You know, I may have. I don't recall. Even back then, I was looking for sports movies and other things to watch and do. But yeah, I didn't obviously know the music from that, but I'm not sure if I ever saw it.
So if Snow White and the Evil Queen had played catch with the poison apple,
exactly, if they were, somebody would have smacked it out of the park, I would have been a lot better off.
You would have been much more interested.
Exactly right.
Did you have favorite animated movies? Because I forgot, really, this is 1936 that this movie came out. Now, you know, I will say, the story is a little bit, it is outdated.
Yeah.
Of a beautiful princess who gets lost in the forest and winds up falling asleep in the house of 7 dwarfs. It's a little weird, I guess.
Yeah.
By today's standards, but it's 1936.
Yeah, what do you expect? I
mean, think about how long ago that was that this first came out. And it was, you know, the first of all the animated films that we've had come out since then. This was the very, very, very first one.
Yeah, I used to watch cartoons on TV. I was a big, huge Bugs Bunny Roadrunner show fan. My brother and I would get up on Saturdays when we were able to finally make our own breakfast and things of that nature and not make my parents up.
Cut the
exactly.
Lights.
You know, those are
this is
great.
To hit
the we're the boys of the chorus. We hope you love our show. Yeah, we know you're rooting for us, but now we have to go. Yeah. But I the first movie I really remember loving was Mary Poppins.
Really?
Yeah, I'm big into music.
Really?
A lot of people, you know, just, oh, you're just a sports guy. I love music and all kinds of music. And the songs in there just kind of, they spoke to me. I was a kid. I was
very,
a young kid.
Very infectious.
Yeah.
Those songs.
I even saw the remake.
Which was
pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, so.
It wasn't the original, but, you know, very few sequels are.
Yeah.
But still, it was entertaining.
I used to love. We used to go see all the Disney films when they came out. We would go see movies like Absent Minded Professor, Son of Flubber. what were some of the Don Knotts movies?
Apple Dumpling Gang.
Apple Dumpling.
I saw that one.
That was a
saw
classic.
That one.
That's a classic.
I saw Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Yeah,
so fantastic.
Yeah, the Apple Dumpling Gang had an all-star cast, didn't it?
It did.
I wish I could remember everybody else but Don Knotts at this point, but I remember there being a lot of famous people in that.
You know what we used to go see a lot of when we were kids? I guess they were children's movies, really family movies. All the stupid Jerry Lewis movies.
Yeah.
I would run to the theater when there was a new Jerry Lewis movie out.
Yes, to me he was the telephone guy. That's when I first met Jerry Lewis, or was introduced to Jerry Lewis.
Oh, but his Absent-Minded Professor, and that's probably the most famous. But he's got 20 films, short films, one sillier than the next, and more hilarious than the next. You know, that's where all of this falls. But if you go see the Snow White movie, if you don't get all PC'd up from all the hype that's out there, the bad hype that's out there right now, it's going to bring back a million memories for you. So know that that's out there. Know that that's, something that, is available. Perfect for families, perfect for kids. as well. 773 area code, I think, sums it up as well, saying, see the movie or don't. Why do people criticize that which they know nothing about? That's exactly right.
Yeah, movies are supposed to be enjoyed or, you know, disliked in your own accord.
Yeah. Go see it, or you know, if you feel strongly about it, don't go see it. But if you're going to criticize somebody for having an opinion on it, I hope you've also seen it, that, you know, you can make an argument for what it is that you're, you know, that you're saying. Here is the 708 area code. Dean, I want to thank you for putting that song in my head now. Now it'll be stuck with me the whole darn day. Well, that's good. I hope you whistle whatever you're doing today. Let me see here. Dean, 630 area code. Saw the movie yesterday. It was great. The kids loved it. So there you go. You know, very interesting. Let's see. 773 area code. Dean, have you seen Gus, the field goal kicking mule?
Oh, my God. Those are some crazy movies. I don't remember even if I saw that, but I remember seeing a trailer for it.
Yeah.
I remember the Cat from Outer Space. And then also the Escape to Witch Mountain movies were fun as well.
I saw those.
Yeah. I don't think I saw Gus the Field Goal Kicking Mule movie.
I can't imagine why.
You're going to want to get it in your queue.
Right. Yeah, you'll never be able to get it out. 331 area code. Don Knotts, the ghost and Mrs. Muir, and all the characters from Andy Griffith's show were in the movie.
Wow.
Hey, by the way, that's our first Andy Griffith show mention on the show.
It is.
By the way.
Well, that's a complete upset. Well, I think we know why that was the first one.
Yeah. Jerry Lewis's Who's Minding the Store was my favorite, where he screams, lady!
That I've seen that portion of it, because I mean, that's him.
That's a very funny movie. He does a very funny sequence with a typewriter. And kids, you can ask your grandparents what a typewriter was later on. But Jerry Lewis does a very funny sequence with a typewriter and music and so forth. For me to try to explain it would only ruin the whole thing. But look it up. Go on your Google and look it up. It's hilariously funny. Dean, did you see Waitress at the Paramount? I did see it, and I thought it was great. We saw it and thought it was awesome. Boy, oh boy, do they do it right. It was worth the trip to the Paramount. Love you guys. Thank you. Well, thank you for listening. I'm telling you what, it's pretty hard to go wrong with any show at the Paramount. They do some amazing shows. Now, I am in a quandary about the next show that's coming up at the Paramount. I have no doubt that they're going to do a good job with it, but it is the musical Cats. And I've seen Cats maybe a dozen times, maybe more. I have never enjoyed one production of Cats. It is not my favorite musical by any stretch of the imagination. So I don't know what I'm going to do when I go see it at the Paramount. We'll see how they, you know, what they can do with the whole thing. Yes, I did love very much. I loved Waitress. I did love that. 773 area code. I loved Mr. Limpet when he turned into a dolphin and helped the Navy. That was the Don Knotts movie.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, where he turns into a fish. And why?
Of course he does. And why wouldn't he?
He's no field goal kicking donkey, but still okay. Yeah, there were a lot of good movies from back in the day. When that you know, I used to look forward to every Saturday. I've told this story before. Every Saturday, my three brothers and I would go to the old Avalon Theater on the South Side on 79th Street. We would go probably to get out of our parents' hair. And, you know, since I was the youngest, you know, the older brothers were assigned to look after me, especially the youngest one. And the first thing that my brothers would do when we got to the theater, ditch me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they could hang out with their buddies, and I would sit by myself and just, you know, watch these movies, sometimes scary movies, and mostly silly ones, funny ones. Oh, I love the cartoons in between the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Pink Panther. Remember the old Pink Panther?
Oh, yeah.
Was it Snagglepuss?
That was part of the Laugh Olympics, yeah, with Snagglepuss.
Exit. Stage right.
I was a big fan of Ricochet Rabbit.
Oh, bing, 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 bing.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you remember the cartoon? It used to be on Channel 44 when I was growing up. It was on after Speed Racer, which was my all-time favorite commercial cartoon. But Prince Planet.
Hmm.
He used to wear this little pendant that had a P on it, and he would get power, and you could see the power draining from the P if he was...
That's right.
And he would say, P for power! He was pretty good.
I forgot about that show. I liked Prince Planet.
That may have been past my time.
Yeah.
Seems like I would have remembered any character who lost power in his P.
Yeah, okay.
Do you remember the deputy's name from Ricochet Rabbit?
Deputy Dog.
Deputy Dog.
I think it was Deputy Droopalong, wasn't it?
Droopalong?
Yeah.
I think there was another.
Was Deputy it? Dog, I think, was his own thing.
His own character, huh?
Was this Golly, Mr. Ricochet?
Yeah, that's what he would say.
Gee,
yeah.
Ricochet.
Golly, Ricochet. Yeah. We all have college educations, by the way.
I know it's not on display here. Yeah,
this is what we remember. Well, here's a nice compliment. You've been reporting on that mess that's going on out in the tri-state.
Yeah.
But a nice text came in. Dean, a juice box and your show made sitting for an hour on the tri-state bearable.
Thanks. That's nice.
Nice.
Thanks for keeping us amused.
Nice. What flavor was that juice box? That's what I want to know.
See, that's a good question.
Excellent follow-up from the newsman.
Schwani would have never asked that question.
No, he would have asked something else.
About Otis.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you for that. We appreciate that. We appreciate, if you've got nasty comments, keep them to yourself. But if you've got compliments, please feel free to send them. It's 11:38. It's Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN. Our next guest starred as Greg on the TV sitcom Dharma and Greg, 1997 to 2002, but he also starred on Criminal Minds and Tales of the City and so many other projects. Thomas Gibson, I think, is just one of our best actors, and he is going to be starring in a new David Mamet play here in Chicago at the Victory Gardens Theater, April 8th through May the 4th. And Thomas Gibson joins us on the program right now. Was supposed to be here in studio this morning, but because of the Shamrock Shuffle, Thomas, we decided not to put you through the hell of trying to get here to WGN, as we all experienced this morning. We spent the first hour of the show just complaining about how difficult it was for us to get into the building this morning. So he said, we better move Thomas over to the telephone instead of making him go through that. Welcome to the show. Nice to have you here.
Thank you very much, Dean. I hope they're having a good time shuffling, though, at least, right?
I hope so. I wish them the very best out there. It's actually a nice day for it. You're in Chicago now?
I am in Chicago now. And you know, I just have to say, I love this town. Now, I'm not trying to be a shill. But Chicago is every time I come, I just appreciate it more and more, even you know, when it's chilly, you know. So, yeah. I mean, the people are absolutely wonderful. Some of my closest friends are Chicagoans, and I just I can't say enough nice things about the city and about my experience being here. Oh, so
good. I'm glad it's a good experience for you. We sure like our city. We're very proud of it. And especially when new plays premiere here for the first time, when shows do their pre-Broadway runs here. We'll never forget interviewing Mel Brooks when he brought the producers here to Chicago before he took it to Broadway. And, I asked him, why did you decide to bring it here first? And after about a half an hour of jokes from Mel Brooks, he finally got around to telling me is that he respects the audiences here in Chicago. And, they get a lot of very valuable feedback. I've imagined very much like what you all are going to be doing with this new Mamet play called Henry Johnson. Can you tell us a little bit about this and what we can expect?
Well, Eddie Torres, who's directing, the fantastic Eddie Torres, somebody asked him what the play was about, and he said it's exploring the gray areas of morality, which I thought was a very succinct and slightly generalized way of putting it. And of course, David Mamet has been at it for a long time, and is constantly creating incredible plays that ask interesting questions and are full and populated with really compelling characters, and this is no exception. It follows Henry through a series of events in his life where he, things don't necessarily go very well for Henry, and I'm his cellmate in a penitentiary, and I try to sort of show him the ropes, but Henry's open to being educated, but at the same time, of course, he wants to do things his own way. So, without giving away too much, but that's a little bit of an overview. And of course, my old friend Joe Mantegna from Cicero. I called and told him that I was, heading to Chicago to do the play, and he was so excited for me in every way that I was able, not only to go see his shrine at Mr. Beef, but also to be on the stage at at the Victory Gardens Theater.
Of course, Victory Gardens and Joe, yeah, of course.
And I only realized yesterday, as a newbie to Chicago that's the Biograph Theater, that's the old John Dillinger Theater. I didn't know any of this story about the theater. So yeah. And I know it's been dark for a couple of years, so I'm really happy to be part of, its 50th anniversary and the reopening.
Bringing it back, yeah, absolutely. When Joe did work at Victory Gardens, it was a little further down Clark Street, Lincoln Avenue, rather, and then they moved into the Biograph. Yeah, but gotcha. It's that alley right there, right next to the theater where Dillinger met his demise, thanks to the Lady in Red. I think about that all the time when I drive by there. It's like, what a weirdly historic spot here in Chicago. That
exactly.
Is.
And I walked through the alley yesterday, it's provocative, and interesting. So, a play about outlaws, at least peripherally about outlaws, is not an unconnected kind of idea.
It absolutely makes sense. Working on stage, is this something, I don't want to say brand new to you, I'm sure you've done it before, but we mostly know you for your television work. For projects on screen, tell me a little history of your work on stage.
Well, it's all I did for the, first, 20 years of my career. I started doing plays in my hometown, which is Charleston, South Carolina, when I was a kid. And then I went to drama school in New York, and I did a lot of theater in New York. And of course, went to Los Angeles to do a series for David Kelly called Chicago Hope, which you know, was it, the point was to pay the mortgage on my New York apartment so I could go back and do some more theater. And I, of course, never really went back to New York permanently. So it's, you know, it's definitely my my background and my I'd say the foundation of my you know, of my work has been theater. And I hadn't been back to do a play until last year in New York. And I went back to do a really fun thing that Charles Bush had written. And I had worked on a screen adaptation of a play of his years ago, but this was called Ibsen's Ghost. Mm-hmm. And we did it at Primary Stages on the Upper East Side. And it was great to be back on stage. I was, a little trepidatious, I would say.
Yeah.
Just because it had been so long. You know, doing a sitcom, you think, oh, well, it's just like doing theater. It's not quite just like doing theater.
It's nothing like doing theater, really.
Well, I mean, you think because you've got an audience, but of course you've got an audience that's, they're not necessarily bribed to be there, but, you know, there's pizza. And, what was funny, the sound guys up in the, up on the catwalk at one point, I think it was the first season, maybe the first few episodes of Dharma and Greg, and they just reminded me that I did not need to project my voice to the back wall. There were microphones to help with that.
Well, but, plus, yeah. You know, the audiences for, you know, anyone who's been to a TV taping, you sit there for at least 8 hours, basically watching the same thing over and over and over again. It's not like watching a play at all. It's I'm sure
for one of the things that we prided ourselves on Dharma and Greg was that we did not keep them as long as 8 hours. It was probably more like 2.5 or 3.
Oh, that's better. Yeah,
we respected their time. We tried to, especially, and I think when I directed some of those episodes, one of my highest priorities was making sure that the audience did not, was not there longer than they needed to be. So, but you're right. It's not doing a play. Yeah. In fact, I think there was one point at which there was a scene that, we needed to show the audience that we couldn't shoot in the studio and we had not shot it yet, because oftentimes they would show a scene that had been shot the day before. So they pushed the cameras out of the way. And we just literally did the scene for the audience, which was, you know, kind of like doing theater. And it was a very different feeling than it was having that little wall of cameras, between the audience and you. So it was an educational experience to see that even though you thought it was just like live theater, it really wasn't.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, just I was just going to talk to you about the cast of Henry Johnson, which it's some of Chicago's finest, and I'm really, really pleased to be working with them all. So it's really fabulous.
Yeah, we've got some real Chicago veterans in this cast. As I say, we'll be running April 8th through May the 4th. We'll tell you more about Henry Johnson at Victory Gardens, starring Thomas Gibson, who will talk more with...
And Keith Kupfer, A.J. McGee, Daniel Kreimer, and it's actually April 9th is the first performance.
April 9th is there. Let me make a correction on that then. And we'll come back and talk more with Thomas Gibson right after this. And our Dean's List A-List interview this morning, brought to you by Lyric Opera of Chicago, presenting La Boheme. It is 11:53. Thomas Gibson with us this morning. He's in town getting ready for his new David Mamet play that will open April the 9th and run through May 4th at the Victory Gardens Theater in Chicago, 2433 North Lincoln Avenue, the old Biograph Theater that is now beautiful, the Victory Gardens there. So many people, Thomas, on our text line this morning remembering shows that you've been in, people just with wonderful memories of Dharma and Greg. That must be something that you still hear all these years later all the time, I would think. That was a wonderful show.
It was a really fun show, and I, you know, a wonderful, really terrific group of people with whom I am, you know, still in touch. We've lost a couple, but we are, you know, and in show business, it's very rare. I think for, you know, for 20 years or 20 plus years later, for people to be still getting together. But we obviously connected, and you know, the writing was wonderful. The group of writers that were on that show were some of the smartest and funniest people I knew. Of course, the great Joel Murray, Chicagoan, Wilmette boy, who is still one of my closest friends, was wonderful to work with, as was Jenna, and Mitch and Susan and Mimi and Alan, and Shay. It was really just a fantastic experience. And I'm really glad that people have found it again and are, you know, enjoying it.
Yeah, here's a nice testament to another television project you were part of, Criminal Minds. The 815 area code texts in, please tell Thomas my granddaughter is in college studying criminal psychology because she watched Criminal Minds. That's a pretty nice testament to a show.
It's fantastic, and I have heard similar stories, and you know, I think one of the things that was really great, and we got wonderful feedback when we got to meet some of the people who did this work for real, was that they were happy with the work that we were doing, and that we were portraying them in a respectful and you know, somewhat as realistic, I guess, as network television can get. And I always thought of my particular character that if you ever needed someone from the FBI to show up at your door, I wanted him to be the guy that you hoped would show up, you know, somebody who took fidelity, bravery, and integrity seriously.
Yeah. Do you have a preference, comedy over drama?
I would love to be greedy and say that I would, you know, I have no preference. I enjoyed a lot of that, but I think, you know, getting a laugh, there's nothing like getting a laugh, but there's also nothing like, you know, sort of moving an audience. So it's difficult to say, I guess.
Yeah, that almost might be like asking, you know, which child do you like best, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I get exactly. It. I get it. So you are in the rehearsal stages now, I assume, of Henry Johnson, your David Mamet play that's about to open, is that right?
That's right. We started a little over a week ago. We're finishing up our second week of rehearsal this weekend, and it's going well. You know, we are making progress. We've got a long way to go, but we're very excited about it. And we all have a lot to say. You know, David tends to minimize everything but the text. So we have a lot to say to each other, and I think people will find it really interesting and really provocative. So we're all busy with our heads and our scripts, you know, learning our lines and learning what makes these characters tick.
I can't wait to see it. Can't wait to meet you. Hopefully we can get you to stop by our WGN-TV morning news one of these mornings when you have some time. Thomas Gibson, starring in Henry Johnson at Victory Gardens Theater, April 9th through May the 4th. Tickets are on sale right now at the Victory Gardens at 2433 North Lincoln Avenue. Thomas, have a great day today, and we look forward to seeing you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dean. Have a wonderful spring. See you soon.
Nice. We don't usually get a Ron Brown on our show.
There's a Ron Brown sighting. How about that? The rare and unusual.
This is what happens when Schwani takes the day off.
I hope he's having a good weekend.
I hope that it's been nothing but misery for him.
And trying to tell him that it took two people to replace him.
Yeah.
Because he'll get a big head from
he's
that.
He's thrown everybody's schedule off.
I know, last time I said that, I hope he's having a good day off, you said, well, I hope he's in the back of a trunk. I said they've got a special relationship, those two.
Did I say that, really?
Yeah, you did. Without a jack, you said. Well, it wasn't true, though.
You know what? Now that I think of it, I do think that.
Oh, man.
He's a good guy. He can take it.
Nah, he's...
You guys do have a great chemistry, though.
We've been friends for a long time.
That's what he says.
That's why I hate him so much.
The stories.
Like a brother. You know, he's like you treat him like you would your brother.
Now, is he going to put the new producer through the Andy Griffith School of Training?
Oh, the new producer has no idea
Frank's
what he's about.
Deep
to,
trouble.
To oh, man. That's going to take weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks.
Years.
Immersive
culture,
training.
Culture
he,
shock.
He better because I had to.
Yeah.
And look at you. You're a better man for it, Jack.
I am.
Yeah.
Hey, Jack, are you going to play softball for us this year now?
TBD.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very busy with Mr. Landecker.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that changes everything. He's a terrific first baseman, a good power hitter. So we're going to have to work something out there.
Jack's going to be very busy producing Boogie Check from now on.
That's right.
Maybe we can have Swanee produce Landecker on the softball nights.
I'll put it in my contract or something.
Yeah.
Negotiations.
That's a problem that needs solving, I'm telling you.
What will your new hours be?
I'm not sure yet. Anytime after noon? I don't know.
You never have to get up early anymore.
Yeah.
As we mentioned earlier, producer Jack Heinrich, Jack Hammer, as we like to call him, will no longer be, after 3 years... will no longer be producing this show. It's going to be moving to the John Landecker show. Boogie Check, Boogie Check. Ooh. Ah.
How is that going to affect your show, Dean? Is it going to radically change it? Is it altered in any way?
No, not much.
No? Is it just kind of run on its own, Jack?
Ron, we haven't changed one thing on this show.
Still doing Andy Griffith bits, yeah. So.
We're still doing Nixon jokes on the show. We haven't changed in a long time. No, it should be that. I hope it's going to be the same.
I think it will be.
Yeah. But we have had no better partner in the show. No better. I mean, everything that works behind the scenes here is because of Jack. So we're going to miss him tremendously. As I told our new producer, Frank... Is he still in the building, or have we scared him off yet?
He's still hanging. I think I got to go find him somewhere. I think you're
he's hiding somewhere.
During the news break, you scared him a little.
I like to scare the producers in the beginning.
Do you yell at him already?
Yeah. I did ask him to go get my laundry a couple of times.
It's like the Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be Meryl Streep.
Gird your loins. Here comes Dean.
It's going to be a whole new Dean Richards for the next year. No, Jack is, I told Frank he's got, big shoes to fill because Jack did an amazing job in his 3 years with us. So
yeah. I appreciate it. And me and Dean found out we wear the same size shoe today,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, you think you know somebody.
Yeah.
Think you know somebody. We found out today that we both have and size 13.
Yeah
It's not like we're little petite shoes.
Mm-mm.
Either we're men.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are men. I don't know, now that you mention it, I don't know what size shoe Andy wears.
I wear
that's not something we've ever talked about on the show before.
Depending on the brand of shoe, it's either a 9.5 or a 10.
Yeah What size does Shawnee wear, do you think?
He's probably in your neighborhood, I would think.
Yeah, like 15.
I was going to say like a 12.
All right. Next week when Shawnee's back, we devote a full half hour to just shoe sizes.
Just spring it on him. He's not going to have any idea what to do about it either.
Frank's reconsidering whether he wants to work on the show or not. Grandview. You know, we hear it all the time. Dean, we love your show. We love the Sunday morning show. You just don't play enough Curtis Blow for us. So we're remedying that today. Yeah, it's a big basketball Sunday, right?
Oh, yeah.
Today.
second round of the NCAA tournament continuing. We've got half of the field of the Sweet 16 ready. We'll have the other half today.
Now, what do I need to know? I'm a big bandwagon jumper.
Okay. Well, impress your friends, especially those that root for the Fighting Illini of Illinois.
Right. Okay. So I should be wearing something orange?
Orange or blue, yeah. Maybe a combination of the two.
Okay. All right.
And to further your knowledge.
Fortunately, I have a side job working on the potholes.
Oh, nice.
So I already
got the orange vest.
I have the orange vest already.
Perfect.
Very nice.
Perfect. If you really want to further impress your friends, let them know that you know that the Illini are the sixth seed. And they're
a sixth seed.
Yeah, they're playing Kentucky, which is the three seed.
You know, I've always wondered, why are they called seed?
I don't know.
Why is it seed? Why not third place?
Or ranked third.
Right. Yeah. Why is it seed?
Just number three. It's a tournament seed. Thing. Yeah, I don't really know.
Okay.
I think I did know it in a previous time, but I think I've tuned it out because it just seems...
It's so natural.
It's natural, yeah.
It's just natural now. But the Illini are sixth seed.
Correct, and the Kentucky Wildcats are number three seed.
Number three seed.
The game will be played at a little after 4 o'clock Central Time in Milwaukee today. And what's at stake here is a trip to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
So we're finding out. We're getting closer to that that road to the Final Four, as they like to call it. And
I thought I heard Dave Ennett say on he was on WGN TV over the weekend that today we would learn who is in the Sweet 16 today.
Correct. So eight of the teams are already in from yesterday's games.
Right.
And we'll find out eight more today, including the Illini. Now, if they're fortunate enough to win this game, that means they're in the Sweet 16 for the second time in as many tournaments. They went there last year as well. And it would be the first time in 21 and 20 years that they went to back-to-back times, because last times were 2004 and 2005. And if you really want to impress your friends, remember to tell them that in 2005, they went to the championship game and lost to North Carolina.
Hey, by the way, back in 2005, I've already forgotten.
It's okay. They went to the championship game. They were the national runners-up.
2005, you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah, you got that. There's a lot of activity going on today, especially Big Ten teams. Michigan State's playing today. Maryland is playing today. Oregon's playing today. Still weird to say Oregon is in the Big Ten, but that's the truth.
Do they normally stink?
No, actually, they're pretty good. They're pretty good. They've been good most of the year. There's only two teams that are Big Ten teams that are out of the tournament right now, and that's Wisconsin lost yesterday, and my poor wife, her UCLA Bruins, lost yesterday as well.
Mm.
So
you really rubbed it in at home?
I did nothing of the sort.
Oh, okay.
I did nothing of the sort. I know better because, you know.
Happy wife.
Happy life.
Yeah.
I've got teams that I root for that I wouldn't want her to rub that in my face because they usually lose.
Right.
So, you know,
yeah.
I don't want to do that.
I get it.
But, yeah, it's a great day. This is one of the better times to be a sports fan because you've got baseball starting up. You've got the NCAA tournament a couple of weeks away from the Masters, the first major of the year on the PGA Tour. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a great day. And the weather's getting better, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, that's also very nice.
Yeah.
But I mean, people who are into college basketball, they may as well just stop everything in their lives right now.
This first weekend of the tournament, is my favorite time except for the Final Four. Because on Thursday, you could have effectively gone somewhere and watched games from 11 a.m. until almost midnight. Pretty much continuously, with games going on simultaneously. Most of the reason that you go to a watering hole to watch, because you can see multiple games at the same time.
Yeah.
So that was the case on Thursday. That was the case on Friday. And yesterday, there were games from 11 o'clock in the morning until close to 10 last night. Dave Ennett and I were handling things over at the TV sports desk yesterday, and we watched the final game go on. That was UCLA was the final game, and it ended about 10:30.
Yeah, it's an exciting time.
It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun to be a sports fan.
I am. I'm not going to go, but I am excited about the home openers. I get excited every year about the home openers. It's like a spring renewal.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it means the weather's going to be nicer. It means
summer's coming.
Summer's, they're right behind us.
Yeah.
I don't care how cold it's been. to go to a home opener game, to me, it was always fun. You sit there often in a blizzard,
yep.
You know, trying to drink one beer.
And it freezes on you.
It freezes, right. You have no trouble keeping your beer cold.
You have a beer sickle.
But it's fun. And I've always said to me, there is nothing more magical than when you walk up those steps into the whether it's been on the north side or south side,
mm-hmm.
and you see the green of the field for the first time
for
a new season.
And there's certain smells that you only smell at a ballpark, good and bad, but mainly you remember the good ones when you're first entering the ballpark. And, you know, you talk about opening day and the magic of opening day. Malina and I have some friends who are celebrating their 40th anniversary of being season ticket holders on the south side.
Mm.
They're stopping their vacation short and coming in to take in the opener for the White Sox on the south side coming up on Thursday when they take the Angels on. So there is something magical about the day. And I've always said, half jokingly, half serious, that you know, opening day should be a national holiday. Because you shouldn't have to go to school or go to work on that day, because it's baseball. I mean, it's America's pastime.
I agree.
See?
We got to move this legislation.
I know. I got to find somebody that can bring this bill to the attention of someone to get it going.
I think that there are people ready and waiting to change everything.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So I probably shouldn't have much trouble.
Yeah,
I think we'll probably
get that done.
Yeah, and the Cubs home opener, by the way, is the following weekend. That'll be on Friday, April the 4th, and they'll take on the San Diego Padres.
Now, what about how the teams are going to look this year?
Well,
I mean, the White Sox were disasters.
Yeah, they were a disaster
last year. Are we going to, you know, be in a rebuilding process?
Yeah,
are we going to see some fruits of the rebuilding process this year?
Well, Sox fans right now, it's hard to say this without you know, being too hard on the team, but it's more about the individual players to me right now, as far as Sox fans are going and progress of some individual players, because the team as a whole is not really built to compete. I mean, who knows? Stranger things have happened in the world of Major League Baseball, where teams that were not expected to do anything caught fire and people had magical seasons and they reached the postseason. So I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibility. It's highly unlikely. But there's some new faces that I think White Sox fans are going to see, not maybe at the beginning of the season, but more toward the middle. Colson Montgomery is their top prospect, a shortstop who can hit for power, can play the position as well. There's a couple of left-handed pitchers that are going to be coming up, but you know, I was talking to Darren Jackson, who was my broadcast partner when we were doing Sox here on the radio, and he mentioned the Sean Burke, who's going to make the start on opening day for the White Sox, who made a big impression on a lot of people last year just with his presence on the mound and the fact that he actually looked like he knew what he was doing as a young pitcher, kind of wise beyond his years. So that's something to kind of consider. And there's a lot of talented players that are going to come up, and who knows? I mean, some of them will pan out, some of them won't. That's just the nature of the game. But the White Sox as a whole are not really built to compete this year. They're in another rebuild. Cubs, on the other hand, the division is there for the taking. It's not a very strong division this year. And Cubs made some moves in the offseason. I think some Cubs fans were rather frustrated with ownership, crying to the point that they're talking about it being a business and not wanting to lose money and breaking even and blah, blah, blah. I think that, fans' tolerance of that kind of talk is pretty much out the window, especially when it comes to the Northside Ball Club. But they did improve themselves in some areas, especially the back end of the bullpen, which was a huge problem early in last year. So this is a big year for the Cubs. It's the final year of the contract of baseball president of operations Jed Hoyer, who was around when they won the World Series. He was the right hand man to Theo Epstein at that point. So there's a lot to expect on the north side.
So I should definitely be excited right now.
You should be excited. I kind of approach these things as optimistically guarded. Because, you know, it's easy to talk about teams now.
Sounds like you learned that through many years
of battle scars. I have learned that through many, many, many hardships in my entire life with the with that Northside team in particular.
Yeah.
That has broken my heart several times. Surprisingly how regenerative the heart is in those situations. But yeah, it's easy to get excited now, and you know the old saying about hope springing eternal. Everybody's nothing. You really can't say that about the Cubs because they're actually 0-2 because they lost two games to the Dodgers when it counted in Tokyo. So yeah, they're coming into the regular season in the States already down 0-2 in their season.
So we may have an update on why seeds are called seeds.
Okay.
In the world of basketball.
It might sound familiar. I'll be able to tell if it's right.
Okay. It's from the text line, and everything on our text line is 100% true.
Mm-hmm.
Never anything wrong on the text line. It says it's called that because it's like planting seeds in your garden. The tall ones are in the background. The short ones are up front.
Okay.
That does not make one bit of sense to me.
I'm looking it up here.
Planting seeds in the garden.
Yeah, it sounds...
It doesn't.
Sounds like it's good for a garden. I don't know if it's good for a tournament.
So you have tall ones in front and short ones, you know, how does that apply to sixth seed or third seed?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make sense to me. Still doesn't make sense.
Yeah, the basketball borrowed it from tennis from what I'm reading here. And so they were talking about seeds because they were ranking the top players, but they wanted to have a good draw, so a good competition. So they spread the top seeds amongst the other players in the tournament. So the top players were playing other players that were not so hot and great, but you know it would be over in an instant if the two top players started the tournament together. Because that would be over. It would be over at that point. So they're talking about spreading these seeds around the tournament.
I got to get my Google Translate out to figure out what you
said. So what I'm saying is that the tall ones are in the back and the short ones are in the back.
I got to get a wheelbarrow full of manure also. And now it is 12:39. This is Dean Richards. I think with just enough voice to finish out the show today. Little upper respiratory thing going on, but we'll make it through here on our Food Time show, Chicago Radio's only cooking and dining show, the award-winning All Things Edible program, heard every Sunday at this time. And today we're talking about some meatless recipes for Lent. And boy, if ever there was a day I needed you to call in to help me out on the show here today, so I don't have to do much talking, it's today. Love to hear some of your special Lenten recipes, your meatless recipes, seafood recipes, meatless recipes. We've been featuring some on my TV cooking segment the past couple of weeks, and I've got one coming up this coming Wednesday, what I think is going to be super delicious. Shrimp, orzo, asparagus recipe. I wanted to incorporate some asparagus in there because springtime is asparagus time, and I love asparagus, especially you throw it on the grill and you grill it up a little bit. Fresh asparagus is amazing. And stores already are featuring fresh asparagus. And to be able to incorporate it into some recipes right now, I think would be fantastic. As a matter of fact, we have some theater tickets to give away. When you help me out with some recipes here today, we're going to do something a little more than just a straight giveaway. If you can give us a call with your seafood or meatless recipe, we'll share some tickets to see Andrew Lloyd Webber's critically acclaimed musical, Tell Me on a Sunday, at the award-winning Theo Ubique Cabaret Theater in Evanston. So you got a recipe for us? We've got some theater tickets for you. 312-981-7200. So let me tell you about the recipe that I am going to be doing this coming Wednesday on WGN TV Morning News. It is a one-pan recipe, which to me is the greatest thing ever. If you can keep the pots and pans and the cleaning of stuff down, you're doing a great job in the kitchen as far as I'm concerned. All these chefs you see on TV that have different pots and different gadgets and different this and different that, clearly they are not the person who's doing the cleaning up afterwards. And clearly they are the ones that don't appreciate the joy of being able to do everything in one skillet, minimal equipment, but super delicious recipe, which is what I think I have for you today. So it is a one skillet shrimp and asparagus recipe. It's shrimp, asparagus, and orzo, which is a pasta that is it's shaped like rice. Kind of looks like a big fat rice, but it's really a pasta. And the recipe that I've got today uses the pasta recipe that I've got, the orzo recipe that I've got for you today, uses about a cup of orzo. It's got a couple of garlic cloves in it. It's got a bunch of asparagus. I bought some beautiful asparagus at the grocery store yesterday. It's cheap. It's not that expensive right now. And, it's gorgeous. I don't go for the super thin asparagus. I like kind of a medium-sized asparagus. Not too big, but not super thin either. Some people like the super thin ones. I like a little girth to my asparagus. I get kind of a medium to large size shrimp, about a pound and a half of the shrimp. And here's what I do exactly. I start off by cooking the orzo just with some salted water. If you want to do it in chicken stock, it'll probably give you even a little more flavor, but salted water is fine. Bring the water to a boil. Cook the orzo according to package instructions. Don't cook it all the way through, though. Leave it slightly undercooked because it is going to continue to cook once you mix everything together. So take your orzo, get it to the point where it is just before al dente, drain it, set it aside, and put a little, I use extra virgin olive oil, put a little olive oil in it. Just while it sits there for a minute. Then wipe out that skillet, same skillet, put a little more oil in there, and put your garlic cloves. You're going to use two or three garlic cloves, mince them up pretty good. I throw some red pepper chili flakes in at that time. You don't need to use those if you don't like your food spicy, but I happen to like it spicy. So I put some red pepper flakes in there. Just a real quick sear on the garlic and the chili flakes because the garlic will burn and turn super bitter. But in the meantime now, you've taken this about 2 cups of asparagus. And you have trimmed the ends off and roughly chopped them into 2-inch pieces, okay? 2-inch pieces. Put the asparagus now into the skillet with the garlic and the chili flakes, a little bit of salt and pepper in there as well. Stir to coat it. Let it go. I like the asparagus crisp. I don't like to get it super, super tender. It gets mushy and loses the flavor. So give it till, cook it up till it gets nice and bright green, but still is retaining its crispness. Take that asparagus, push it over to one side of your skillet, and bring the shrimp in now. And cook that shrimp you know, turning it until it becomes pink and opaque. About, it's going to be about 4 minutes total. Now take that orzo that you made before and that you have sitting in the other dish, bring that back into the pan and stir that. Now you can, like, you know, stir the whole thing up and combine the whole thing. This dish, I don't think I mentioned it in the beginning, but one of the things that I like best about this dish, I love now putting lemon in my pasta dishes. You know, if it's not a tomato-based pasta dish. But pasta with olive oil and lemon, there's nothing more lovely. It gets a brightness. It's wonderful. Both the lemon juice and the lemon zest from a couple of lemons. Put that now also goes into the pan. Stir. A little more extra virgin olive oil. And then, you know, put it in a serving dish. And when the whole thing is heated through, put it in the serving dish. And then take some feta cheese. I only use Dudoni brand feta cheese. I get no endorsement. I get no nothing from Dudoni except the pleasure of telling you that I think this is the best feta cheese that's out there. It's just my own personal taste. No financial repercussion to me whatsoever for my endorsement. I just think it's great. So you take the feta cheese, and this is going to probably be maybe like a half a cup, something like that. You know, put as much as you want in, but minimal half a cup. Crumble it. Don't buy the pre-crumbled feta cheese ever. Don't get pre-shredded. Don't get pre-crumbled. It's got fillers and it's got things so it doesn't cake up. It's not as good. Take a nice chunk of feta cheese and crumble it on top of this shrimp and asparagus and orzo and serve your dish up. You can put some fresh basil on top if you want. It's a delicious dish. Completely meatless. You know, it's just got the shrimp for protein, but it is completely 100% Lenten okay for the Greek Lent, for the conventional Catholic Lent that's going on right now. It's 100% Lent approved recipe. I'm going to post this up on our TV website, WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks. WGNTV.com/Dean Cooks. We'll put the recipe up there. And I'm going to be cooking it on Wednesday on the WGNTV morning news. Okay. Let me take a break and we'll get to some of your Lenten recipes coming up next. Dean Richards Sunday morning, our Food Time show. Talking a couple of Lenten recipes here as my voice slowly fades into the west with a little upper respiratory thing I've got going on. Apologize for that, but I just wanted to share a couple of things before we move out and I spend the rest of the day in a bottle of Vicks VapoRub. Here's a really good point from the 815 area code. Your shrimp dish is not meat-free if you cook the orzo in chicken broth or chicken stock. That's a really good point. I mean, I originally said to do it in, you know, just cook the orzo in water. But if you wanted a little more flavor, do it in chicken broth. But you're 100% correct. If you use the chicken broth, it no longer is meat-free. So if you're observing Lent and you want to be meatless, make sure that you do that pasta in water and not in chicken broth. And thank you for reminding me of that. Somebody else asked, what brand of olive oil do I use? I've used lots of different brands. The one that I currently, I love the taste, and it's the California olive oil. It's in a bottle. I think it's called California olive oil. I believe that's the name of it. It's very, very tasty. But I always look for olive oil that is in a dark green glass bottle. I think that preserves the taste of it. So regardless of whatever kind I'm looking for, extra virgin olive oil for things like salad, for for topping, things like that. And I just use regular olive oil, much cheaper, for sautéing and things like that. Extra virgin olive oil often just gets lost when you're, when you put heat into it. It loses a lot of that. Anyway, that's going to be it for us today. And we'll see you again next Sunday morning. See how the voice holds out and whether I'm here with Bob Surratt tomorrow morning or not. But either way, I hope you have a wonderful Sunday. Steve Dale is coming up next, and thank you for listening.